All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgating. We're here, we made it for another week, here to talk about college basketball, or at least attempt to. You ready to go, Jay?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see if we can make this whole episode.
All right, let's get into it.
Hello, come right in.
All right, so first topic, college basketball. You had something, Jay?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the big, I guess, story this week, outside of any games that happened, which I guess is what we usually focus on, things that aren't in the game. Zion Williamson, the number three recruit in the country. He's really caught everybody's attention on Instagram for, like, the last 2 years with just the insane 360 through the leg, tomahawk windmill dunks. Drawn a lot of comparisons to LeBron. He was expected. It's hard to say expected, but I think Clemson was the favorite being in state. He ends up committing to Duke, which was one of the sleepers. Honestly, people had Duke, you know, behind Carolina, behind Clemson, even behind South Carolina.
Ugh.
So it's not. Just looking at it on surface, it's not a huge shock that he goes to Duke. You know, the school that's been doing this for the past 4 years, these one and dones. But the fact that they have now the top three recruits in the country, according to pretty much any website you go to, and also Trey Jones, who's the number one point guard in the country, just makes this a little shocking, a little surprising.
Yeah, it's just terrible. This is the worst. This is not what I want to see in any sport, especially Duke basketball. It really could have been any other college basketball program, and I would have been like kind of excited to see it happen. But if it's going to happen at Duke, I'm not excited to see that happen.
Yeah, and what kind of compounds this and makes it even more interesting of a dynamic is that all three of the players, the top three in the country, RJ Barrett, Cameron Reddish, and Zion Williamson, all are 6'6" or 6'7". They all play the same position. So these are the top three players. So obviously, a top three player, you're going to come into the program and be starting from day one. You're going to be the star of the program. But now that all three are going to the same program, which I highly doubt has ever happened, not only are they going to the same program expecting the touches that they're going to get as a number one recruit, but they're also playing the same position. I don't think one of them is going to come from the bench, but it's just going to be an interesting coaching decision, seeing what Coach K does with all those wings.
Is he going to have to move some to other positions?
Yeah, Zion's kind of a natural four, like a power forward, but just because he's so large and so athletically gifted, but he's only 6'6", so that size is not going to hold up in college, and especially not in the NBA.
Right.
He's definitely going to be a small forward or even a shooting guard, looking forward to the future. But, the rest of them are 6'7", so it's hard to see them playing some kind of power forward. So they might just play three wings and kind of just do positionless, kind of like the NBA does. And then, put a point guard out there and then put a big center, like a 7-foot center out there and kind of just hope that it works. I guess it's a good problem to have because these are three extremely gifted basketball players. It's just going to be interesting to see how they gel, all expecting all these touches.
Yeah, they had to have met each other on recruiting trips, I imagine, right?
Yeah, these guys definitely grew up playing with each other on all these AAU.
That's true.
These guys have probably known each other since, like, eighth grade.
I was going to say the only way to get all three of the top three is, like, if it's, like, a package deal where they kind of were like, hey, let's just all go to the same school together.
I don't know if that's how it works. It kind of just seems like they all just kind of happened one after the other. Not immediately, but it was like, oh yeah, I'm going to Duke, and then a few months later, oh, I'm going to Duke.
It could have been like, talking to each other like, dude, come on, you got to come to Duke, join us, blah blah blah.
Yeah, there's definitely recruiting going on. I don't doubt that at all.
It's just if you didn't know these people, why would you choose to go to the same school as them if you're that good? Like you said, you want to get all the touches you can, and if he would have went to a school like Clemson or another school, he would have been the star from day one.
Yeah, no, these programs were willing to sell their soul, like rename the stadium after these guys, pretty much. And it's just funny that they end up going to Duke, who, I've been listening a lot to Mark Titus recently, and he's brought up a lot of pretty good perspectives. It's like we think about Duke as recently with Kyrie Irving and all these one and dones, Julia Okafor, Justice Winslow, and as recently as Jason Tatum. So we've known Duke as that kind of program who spits out the one and dones, but they've never been that historically. It's always been kind of like get the guys that play hard and put them in your system. And Coach K was always speaking poorly and down on these one and done things. So it's funny to see how the dynamics kind of changed, and he's really taken advantage of the system. We'll see if it works out in the long run, because this is kind of like the first year he's really embraced it. Because even this year's team has some veteran leadership. But next year's team is pretty much going to look like a Kentucky team, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with his initial point where he's saying, like, I don't like one-and-dones personally. I think it's, like, one of the problems with college basketball. But so I see where he's coming with that. But I think eventually he was just like, look, this is the nature of the game now. You have to adapt or die. And he realized that's what you got to do. You got to get one and done. You got to get these superstars.
I mean, maybe. People have done it without it. You know, North Carolina's done it last year, Villanova. So programs are still doing it. Really, the only two that are doing it at this level are Duke and Kentucky. And Kentucky hasn't had tremendous success in terms of championships. The one that won back in 2013. And then I want to say that most of the Duke championships happened kind of before they embraced this tactic.
But it's like
the level they have.
If you're going to recruit the best, why not just get the best, even if they're just going to be a one and done? He's going to recruit the best every year regardless.
And now, I mean, this is from a pretty ignorant perspective compared to his level, but I feel like you have to have a good mixture of these one and dones and some leaders, kind of like Grayson Allen. And you just look at the previous Duke teams, and they've always kind of had that one veteran guy, the J.J. Reddicks. You pretty much just name any hateable white guy.
Yeah.
The Plumleys and so on.
White dudes are the only ones stupid enough to stay all 4 years in college.
Yeah. And so it's looking like next year's just going to be all freshmen. And then you look at what Kentucky's having to deal with this year, highly coined as the youngest team in history. And you see that it's showing on the court, and they're having a super down year, finally out of the polls for the first time in a generation or 1,000 years or something. So it's
I think it was a million years.
Another pretty interesting point that Mark Titus brought up was that Jeff Capel, their assistant coach, the former Duke standout, came on staff in 2011 from Oklahoma. He actually got dismissed from Oklahoma for some shady recruiting dealings, and he went to Duke. And now he's like their biggest recruiting force at Duke. And so it's kind of like maybe this is his doing, and he's going to take over for K. Because, I mean, let's not forget Coach K is 7 years old, 70 plus.
He does not look it. That's the thing.
He doesn't look it, but he's not going to be invincible, I don't think. I don't think he's going to coach into his 80s. At least that would seem unlikely. And so it seems like Capel is kind of setting up this program for him because this is his recruiting strategy, and Coach K is like, you know what? I mean, if you want to get the top five-star recruits in the country, you might as well just do it. And then I leave,
he's actually doing it.
Yeah, just something to keep an eye on. You know, if Capel takes over the program in a few years when Coach K retires, and this is their new strategy, don't be surprised, because can't say that people didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, not a fan. I've never liked Duke basketball, so seeing them do this is just really annoying. It's just like watching the Patriots go back to the Super Bowl again. It's just annoying. It's just tiring.
It is, but I don't know if it's gonna. I guess that's kind of the beauty of college basketball. It's like, yeah, you can get all these five stars, and you're gonna win a ton of games, but you're still going to get upset in the tournament. And that's, I guess, what makes it fun. It's like you have all this collection of talent that's going to go do big things in the NBA, but they're still vulnerable when it comes to the tournament, because you lose one game and you're out. It could happen in the first round. It could happen in the Final Four. But we've seen it happen to Duke time and time again.
Well, especially if you have a young team, not as experienced, they're a lot more susceptible to a surprise loss.
Yeah. So, like your point, I understand how it kind of it hurts viewership because you don't get to get used to the players like you do in college football. But it also makes it a little more interesting because you get these Cinderella stories, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, like some of the teams that we are following now in our conference allegiance. I love when one of those schools does well.
Yeah, it happens, I guess, once in a blue moon.
Well, unless you count Villanova.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty much a proven
or Xavier.
They're definitely Xavier, Cincinnati. These schools are pretty much proven at this point. But what I thought was funny was maybe it was on Pardon My Take or some podcast was talking about what's gonna be funny is if Marvin Bagley, who's projected a top five pick and you know 5-star recruit at Duke right now, just killing it. What if he decides to stay and then Coach K just has to figure out how to play all these number 1, 2, and 3 guys in the country?
At that point, do you just tell him to leave?
Yeah, like please just go make money in the NBA.
Just go, dude. You're like trying to convince him. You're like, look, what is a college degree gonna do for you anyway?
Yeah, like everything you recruited him on, like you need this college education. You're pretty much just backtracking. It's like, well, let's take a look at this. Is it really that important?
Here's the average starting salary for your criminal justice degree. Here's how much you're going to get just by signing to a team in the NBA.
It's actually pretty funny. I wonder if any coaches had to reverse recruit a player.
Well, this could be a situation right here.
Like I could see Coach Cal at Kentucky doing that. Speaking of Kentucky, I mean, this is not good for them because this was pretty much his, like, he pretty much started this one and done thing. And now he has the number 4 recruiting class. He's not doing too hot in the recruiting trail, not as hot as he used to. So he's kind of getting beat at his own game now.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's going to happen to them? More than likely next year, they'll just kill it again with recruits and they'll be good. It won't take them long, more than likely.
That's what happened. They got a ton of money.
Yeah, so more than likely that'll happen. But you never know. I mean, they're trying to boost up their football program a lot, so maybe they're not focusing as hard as they usually do.
I think football is just kind of an accident. They're like, the season's going?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, and we're winning some games? Oh, all right.
Cool.
We'll just market that we meant for that to happen.
I think journalists that cover Kentucky, even during football season, they're mainly just focused on basketball off season.
Yeah, I would be.
Yeah, that's they just got to cater to their readers, mm-hmm. their audience.
Yeah, it's just like, Ole Miss is a notorious soccer school. So when you go to Ole Miss.
Women's soccer.
Yeah, when you go to Ole Miss, all you care about is women's soccer and. You know, like the Grove and football season's like fun, but you know, if you're a journalist, you don't really care about that. You don't care about baseball or basketball. You're kind of just waiting around for women's soccer.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Ole Miss basketball, they got a big win against Alabama last night.
Oh, well, why don't you give us a rundown of some women's basketball? That was the sport you claimed you would talk about.
I was talking about men's basketball.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll get to women's basketball later because you owe the audience. Some information. I will give the audience some rundowns of hockey later as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why most people tuned in.
So, in terms of basketball conferences, who do you think's killing it right now?
The Big 12, I think, top to bottom at least. I don't know if they have a contender to win it all, per se. I think each team in that conference has a pretty big weakness. But just top to bottom, if I feel like the Big 12 is kind of dominating.
The only problem with that is they beat up on each other a lot. Like, didn't TCU just beat West Virginia?
That is the problem. They all kind of, and that's always kind of been the problem of Big 12 is that they're all competitive enough where the any team can really beat anybody except for Iowa State, and then Kansas is just it's kind of sitting on the outside.
Yeah, it's kind of
they just lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of funny. Like, you say you want the most competitive conference possible. Which, you know, is true, but in Big 12
situation, your games in conference,
right? And like in Big 12 situation, and it's like this for every sport for them, baseball, basketball, and football, where they're all nearly equally competitive. Whereas in the SEC, depending on the sport, there's a top bracket, a middle back bracket, and a bottom bracket, and that's like most conferences. So you're top schools and your middle schools kind of guarantee some wins there. The Big 12, like I said, West Virginia, their second best team, number 7 in the nation. Didn't they just lose to TCU?
Yeah, West Virginia just lost to TCU.
Yeah, so...
And they've lost two other Big 12 games. They lost to Kansas and Texas Tech.
Yeah, and TCU's not even ranked.
No, they probably should be. They're fringe.
Yeah, no, they're definitely fringe, but I'm just saying, like, now you're losing to in-conference unranked opponents, you know? And that's just going to kind of keep happening. And that's their second-best team. That's a team that you expect, you kind of want to go deep in the playoffs, so...
Yeah. I mean, looking at it from a tournament perspective and seeding perspective, I mean, that's not one of those losses that's going to kill you from an RPI standpoint because it's on the road and it's a highly RPI-ranked team. I mean, but you still don't want to lose it, obviously. And they've got plenty of chances coming up to make up for that. I guess that's the good part. The good part of being in a competitive conference is you're going to have a ton of opportunities not only to lose ground but also to make that ground back up.
It's just hard to have a record like Villanova. I mean, I'm not taking anything against the Big East. They're definitely a good conference, but they have some outliers, you know what I mean? So Villanova, 19-1, they're definitely one of the best teams in the country, but when you're West Virginia and you're having to play a really good team every single game, it's hard to have that type of record.
Yeah, maybe Big East wasn't the best example because they actually, like, top to bottom, other than St. Paul, or not St. Paul, DePaul and Georgetown, they are having a really good year.
Okay, that's true.
In most years, and there's definitely conferences that fit that description. Yeah, I understand that. I guess it's ACC. Like,
yeah.
Another thing that kind of sets the Big 12 apart and makes it difficult is it's small in terms of how many schools are in it.
Right.
Where the ACC has 14, SEC has 14, there is room for tiers where the Big 12,
yeah,
if there are tiers, they're just very small.
Yeah. Also, I mean, fairly relatable, Wichita State, you know, has always been one of those great upset teams, the small team. And now that they're in the AAC, which is, you know, a competitive conference for every sport, and they're really, the AAC is really starting to show how good they are in basketball. Wichita State, you know, was highly ranked, and they were in the top 5 pretty much all year, but now they're ranked 17 because they lost to SMU and then U of H back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those aren't terrible losses.
No, they're not bad losses. I mean, they're both really good teams, and they both could make, they both could get in the tournament, but if Wichita State wasn't in that conference, they would have, you know.
Yeah, what you're saying is when they were in the Missouri Valley, they would still be undefeated probably.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that they would. It's good to play good teams, but when you lose to a good team, I mean, it's better than losing to a bad team, but it's still a loss, right? If they were undefeated, they would inevitably be ranked at least 5 spots ahead of where they are.
Yeah, and speaking about the AAC, they should be, I think, a lot stronger than they are. Really, East Carolina and South Florida are just holding them down so much.
I know. The conference, top to bottom, is really competitive. Cincinnati, obviously, at number 9, and they're just killing it at 17-2. But, yeah, and then you have Wichita State, and U of H right now is actually, I think, tied with Wichita State in the conference. And I guess they would be ahead of them with the tiebreaker. Obviously, that won't last. But at the moment, and then SMU right below that, 4 really, really good teams. And then, you know, UConn, if it's not their year, but when they have an on year, that's another great basketball program.
Memphis, too.
Memphis. Well, Memphis hasn't been great in a while, but they should get back to – they should. They need to get back to greatness. But, yeah, it's a lot of – well, it's a lot of old Big East teams, too. So I think that's part of the reason. So it's been really fun as an alumni of an AAC school to see them start stepping up in basketball, because that's something I think especially U of H should have always done because of the history U of H has with basketball. So it's pretty cool. I'm happy the Wichita State move helped.
For sure. Yeah. No, that was a big move. There's a lot of games this weekend on Saturday. The big one, obviously, is Virginia-Duke.
Virginia's just been killing it, man.
Yeah, Virginia is definitely a big success story this year. It's it's gonna be cool seeing them go up against Duke, because it's like a very strong offensive team versus the strongest defensive team we've seen in years.
And that's 2-4, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a top five game.
I mean,
that's exciting.
I mean, I'm not sure if anybody watched that. I hope people did. The Virginia Clemson game.
Yeah.
That was on last night.
Yep.
And Virginia held Clemson to, what, 13 points in the second half?
Yeah, it's insane.
Tony Bennett's pack line defense is just unbelievable every year.
It's always fun to see Virginia good at basketball again. Just because it's ACC basketball, that is basketball. Other than the Big East, obviously, that's just basketball. But the ACC, that's their bread and butter, basketball.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's really fun to see another school like Virginia that has been good get back to this level again.
Yeah, and they just kind of seems like every year Tony Bennett just kind of retools the team. I know last year was, they've been strong for the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. And this year they started off the season unranked, and they just keep climbing the ladder, keep winning.
There's not much more to climb. If they beat Duke, they'll be number one. They'll surpass Villanova, but only other spot to climb. I mean, they're on an 11-game win streak, 12-game win streak?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 11 wins. That last and only loss was to West Virginia on the road.
And that's a good loss. Like we said, West Virginia is a great team. They're 16-4 overall. I mean, that's and playing in West Virginia. Virginia's just, this game against Duke's going to be awesome.
What's going to be cool is the game against Virginia Tech, now that Virginia Tech just beat North Carolina, and maybe carry some momentum. It looks like their next big test is against Virginia. So
yeah, and that's rivalry.
If they can continue that win streak all the way until February 10th when they travel to Charlottesville, then that'd be a pretty cool game.
Ooh, that's a fun rivalry.
Yeah.
All right. So that was talking basketball. I feel like we're doing fairly well.
Yeah, and we'll pick it up as the season continues.
Right. We're just diving into it, people. All right. We showed up late to the party. So let's move on to our conference allegiance. So as we mentioned last episode, we're doing a conference allegiance just for basketball conferences, or at least the conferences that are really only known for basketball. Just to, you know, make it interesting, give us something to pay attention to outside of the ranked teams or the big conferences. You want to start it off, Jay?
Yeah. Do you have any specific order you're thinking about doing?
No, just go for it. I'll follow your lead.
So what I actually did, I ranked mine, and I'm gonna list mine off in terms of how they've done since our last episode.
How about you say the conference? And then you say your team, I'll say my team, and then we'll move on to the next conference.
Okay, yeah, and I'm going in reverse order from their performance. So I'm going to start with the teams that have dropped the most, and then finish with the teams that have gained the most.
Well, we can compare it to my teams. Let's get into it.
All right, let's get into it. First up, had a rough week, is Missouri State from the Missouri Valley Conference.
Uh-oh.
They went 1-2, which doesn't seem too bad on the surface, but according to KenPom, they dropped 21 spots. They lost to Drake and Bradley.
That's not good.
That's not good in 1 week.
Yeah, Drake's not having a good year. So for the Missouri Valley Conference, I have Illinois State. Last weekend, they got smoked by Indiana State, 54-84. And today, they're playing Northern Iowa. So we'll see. Who knows? Hopefully, they can actually get a win. Yeah.
Big opportunities in the Missouri Valley.
Although,
I'm not sure how much our analysis is going to matter, because neither of our teams really. Well, I guess Missouri State's got some chances. They blew their chances, it seems like, because Loyola Chicago looks like they're kind of running the conference at this point. All right, next up, George Mason hasn't had a good season, nor did they have a good week. They just keep falling, dropped 11 spots in the KenPom rankings from last week, dropping two decisions to George Washington and one other team.
You forgot to say the conference.
Yeah, so this is Atlantic 10 Conference. George Mason, far removed from their treasured past, making the tournament. Now they can't stop anybody on defense. they really can't do anything. They can't shoot the three. They can't shoot the two. They can't shoot the free throw. And actually, they've been getting pretty lucky. They've got the fifth best opponent free throw percentage, which is just completely luck.
So for the Atlantic 10, I have Davidson. Yesterday they lost to Dayton. A really tight game, 64-65. And on Sunday, they are playing Richmond. So we'll see.
Yeah, Dayton, that loss to Dayton for Davidson definitely didn't help, but they've still got kind of an outside shot to make the tournament.
They're second in the conference. They're 10-8.
Yeah, obviously they could win the conference and just get an automatic bid, but even at large, they've got an argument because they've been playing well this season. The offense is really clicking.
Yeah, it's a close loss too. It might not hurt them too bad.
All right, next up on the list out of the Ivy League, Penn dropped 8 spots in KenPom from last week. They only played one game, but it's a loss against Temple. I guess any notes about Penn? An interesting thing is they are only shooting 62% from the free throw line, which is almost very last in the country, which doesn't seem like an Ivy League thing to do.
Okay. Well,
I feel like Ivy League should always lead the country in free throw percentage.
Yeah, that's a good point. And stats.
You want to hear some names from Penn?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Ryan Bentley, AJ Brodeur, Max Rothschild.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if you're not rooting for Penn after that, I don't know what's going to convince you.
Would it be non-PC of us to play a college basketball game called Guess His Race?
Yeah, we should probably avoid that, but there's probably a workaround. We could probably figure something out that's, I guess, less... less obvious.
Oh, as long as we don't guess black, then it can't be racist.
That's true.
Yeah, so I'll be like Asian, and you're like, no, sorry, Tyrese Williams was not Asian. He was right, African American.
Ryan Bentley, what do you think he is?
White.
Okay. AJ Brodeur.
White.
Max Rothschild.
White.
All right, yeah, you're 3 for 3.
Hey, I got better stats than Ivy League shooters. All right. My Ivy League team was Cornell.
You ever heard of it?
Overall, they are a wonderful 6-10 in the conference. They are 0-3. They are second to last in the conference, right above Dartmouth, who they play in their heated Ivy League basketball rivalry this Friday. So everybody make sure to watch that game. That's going to be wild.
Cornell might be the worst team out of any of our teams.
Dartmouth. Well, out of our team. I was going to say, yeah. But Cornell and Dartmouth both haven't got a single win in the conference yet. So
yeah, that's not good.
One of them technically has to win that game. Technically, I think. By rules of basketball, one has to come out victorious.
Turned off applicants' interest in Cornell, and they are going to go to the vastly superior Dartmouth. Ever heard of it?
Let's see. Cornell played Syracuse to start the season. They lost. They only scored 45 points.
Yeah, okay. So thanks for validating how bad they are.
I'm just trying to see if there was any like competitive games.
No, I was looking at their games, and it didn't seem like there was anything to like give them hope.
Mm-hmm. Next up, one of my favorite teams to keep up with.
Conference.
Just been on a hot streak out of the Southern Conference.
There you go.
Out of Spartanburg, South Carolina, nice. Is the Wofford Terriers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't understand that they're on a 6-game win streak. And somehow they dropped 10 spots. I think it's just the competition they've been playing. They had 2 wins over Samford and Chattanooga, which are just god awful teams.
Right.
So that doesn't help. But if they just keep this win streak up, they're gonna have some RPI games that'll help them out.
They'll have to at least get back to stagnant, right?
Yeah. What's really fun about this team is they just shoot the lights out of the place. They got shooters all over the floor, and I'm sure the only reason people know Wofford basketball is because they beat North Carolina on national TV a couple weeks ago. But they're second in the country with 3-point percentage at 42.5%. So if this team somehow slips into the tournament, maybe gets the automatic bid from winning the conference, this would be one of those teams to watch out for.
What do you tell as a coach? What do you tell your players who are on a 6-game winning streak that they're ranking is going down? What do you tell them? Just like, you know what, keep winning. If we win at least 6 more, we're bound to at least not continuously go down in rankings.
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing you can say.
Yeah, we'll get back to like just staying steady for a little while instead of immediately going down.
Yeah, maybe. They're at 167 right now.
I think if they put on their jerseys and start to like lace up their shoes, they're already going down. So you have to... I don't know.
Yeah, so just by default, they're already going down.
Right. You gotta figure out something. So that's on you, coach.
That's just the nature of Southern Conference basketball.
Well, speaking of Southern Conference basketball, my UNCG, I think they're the Spartans, right?
They are the Spartans, yeah.
Ooh, look at that. Overall, they're 14-5. In the conference, they're 5-1, doing pretty well. They're on a three-game win streak over Western Carolina, Citadel, and Mercer last weekend, 70-66, and they're playing Furman tonight. They're currently third in the conference, so.
You know, UNCG plays Wofford on February 20th, so I might head down for that game.
Yeah, maybe I need to fly out.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big game. That might decide the conference, although East Tennessee State looks like the clear favorite.
If I can somehow manage to make it out there for that, what day is that?
That is February 20th. That is
it's probably
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I think.
I was just going to say it's probably Tuesday or some stupid shit. Damn it. I was going to say I need to make it out for that, and then I can rep UNCG, and you can rep Wofford. Mm-hmm. That would be we'll figure that out. We got to do something like that this year.
Speaking of Zion Williamson earlier, he's from Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is where Wofford is. And I know that was kind of like it's almost a joke. I know Wofford probably wasn't taking it as a joke that he was quote unquote considering going to Wofford. And they were like, you know, throwing everything they possibly could. I wonder if they actually told him like, hey, we will rename our gym after you.
Well, if they were doing it right, they would offer him hookers.
I'm sure they did.
No, if they offered him hookers, he'd go there. I think that's a rule of thumb. If you get offered hookers,
he seems like
you
a good
go.
Dude. I've seen a lot of interviews with him. He seems like a really.
I've known plenty of good dudes that like strip clubs, so I don't take that into account.
I don't know how many strip clubs there are in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Well, maybe that's why they're not getting enough recruits. They need to build more.
That's true. Durham does have a good handful of them.
Ooh, I bet real nasty ones too.
Yeah, if you watch Duke lacrosse. 30 for 30, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Ooh, yeah. let's not get into that. Talk about PC.
from the Summit League, dropped only four rankings, so staying pretty consistent.
Okay.
Fort Wayne Mastodons out of, you guessed it, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I did guess that, so.
They dropped a really bad loss to Western Illinois in overtime on the road, but then picked up a pretty good win against North Dakota State to bring them back up to just about where they were.
North Dakota State's not bad this year.
No, they're just about even, I guess.
That's the only loss University of South Dakota has in the conference, so that's mm-hmm. something. Summit League SDSU, overall 17-5, conference 5-0. Huge, actually, this is the biggest game tonight against their in-state rivals and second-best team in the conference, the USD. So
yeah, it's 8 o'clock Eastern.
That's actually a big game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what
like,
time is
no
that?
Bullshit.
What channel is that? I was gonna see if I could find.
It should be on ESPN. I mean, that's
it's ESPN 3. Yeah, so it's gonna be streaming.
Yeah, that's actually like a legit game. I'm not even joking about that. That's because that's a rivalry for them, and they're the two best teams in the conference. So. That's pretty big. That could determine, you know, if somebody gets into the tournament or not.
Yeah, anybody in the area of Brookings, South Dakota, go out to Frost Arena.
Shit, if you're in Vermilion, drive 2 hours to Brookings.
How far is that from Sioux Falls?
Sioux Falls is in between both. Brookings is north of Sioux Falls, and Vermilion south of Sioux Falls, about like 30 minutes to an hour, or like, what, an hour each way, I guess?
There you go. You're learning all about South Dakota.
So if you're in Sioux Falls, you know where to go.
All right. Next up, from the Metro, I guess I got these order backward. Yeah, the Metro Conference, sitting right next to Fort Wayne, is the Monmouth Hawks. They dropped only one game this past week against Iona. Is at home, though, so that definitely hurts. 3-point loss. Let's see, anything of note in their statistics. They get to the free throw line a lot, I guess, if that's something interesting. They turn it over way too much, though. Not gonna help their case.
Yeah, that's one thing everybody knows about them. So
Yeah, not really. Over a bunch, and then you don't go to the free throw line.
Not really presenting any new facts about them. I think everybody already
knew this.
No,
that's just kind of what Coach King Rice has been known for.
Right, right. Especially that last school that he coached at that was also a school with basketball.
No, this is actually his first head coaching job.
Shit, are you serious?
Yeah.
What are the odds? What are the odds? Metro Atlantic, I have Niagara. You know what? They should... I don't even know their mascot, but they should be the Nigerians for a couple reasons. One...
Niagara is actually the Purple Eagles. They got a pretty cool mascot.
Yeah, that's not bad. Purple... I don't know. I've never seen a Purple Eagle. I'm just going to throw that out there. But one, that's a funny name. Niagara Nigerians. That's funny.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
And two, you never know. Maybe like some Nigerian kids will want to start going to your school.
That's true. And they're like, oh, I know this mascot. This is my cousin.
That's me. I am the mascot. Might be considered racially insensitive, but you know what? If it plays out and
people
it helps
have gotten away with worse, I think.
I think so, too. That's really not racially insensitive. You're just saying he's a Nigerian. That's not insensitive. That's just like, hey, I love Nigeria and that part of Africa. Come play for us. Anyway, overall, they are 12-9. Conference, they are 5-3. They got smoked by Fairfield, 85-104 last weekend. And they're playing Manhattan tonight. And they're fourth in the conference. So, you know, not bad. Not terrible.
Yeah, that's a pretty good breakdown. They get a ton of steals. Actually, no, they don't get a ton of steals. They get not any steals at all.
Well, I mean, that's good.
Their defense is awful.
Well, that's why they can call themselves the Nigerians, because that's not racially insensitive. Like, why would you assume that Africans would steal?
Mm-hmm. They don't get a ton of steals, but they also don't turn it over. So there's pretty good balance.
They protect their ball. That's, you know, Nigerians.
All right, next up, and... definitely the best team out of any of us is the St. Mary's Gales.
I like Gales. Conference.
They moved up only two spots this past week, but just because they're ranked so highly.
What conference is that?
Gonzaga, which was...
I have no idea.
Gonzaga, don't you?
I have no idea what conference this is.
The West Coast Conference.
Oh, hey, there we go. No, I don't have Gonzaga.
Okay, well, I'm curious to see who your team is. Oh, I know, San Diego, that's right.
Yeah.
St. Mary's... is actually like a legitimate team, like could actually make it to the Sweet 16 and beyond. Jacques Landel.
Yeah, what are they ranked? Like 15 or something?
Yeah, right around there. They're 19-2. Huge win over Gonzaga. It was a close game, but it was on the road, which is just massive. Huge for their case. Their offense is unbelievable. They have just this big man, Jacques Landel, who sits down underneath the basket, 6'11 senior, and then they just surround him with shooters. It seems like a pretty good strategy. I don't know why more people don't do that.
They're on a 14-game win streak, too.
Yeah, their only two losses, a pretty inexcusable loss to Washington State and in some tournament. I think it was – I don't know what tournament it was. But then they lost to Georgia in overtime, which was – you probably shouldn't have dropped that one.
No, Arkansas just beat Georgia.
But that said, like you said, they're on a huge win streak. Just really grooving right now. Their defense is nothing to brag about, but their offense can pretty much compete with anybody.
So why is Gonzaga still ranked above them?
I think just because Gonzaga's losses are more excusable. Florida, Villanova,
but they have four.
San Diego State, and San Diego. Yeah.
And here's the deal.
They have better big wins. They beat Ohio State. They beat Texas. They beat Creighton. They've got better wins.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Usually I love transitive property, but I'm not totally serious about it. But in this case, Gonzaga's 15 and St. Mary's is 16. Why could you not just flip those? That one, it's like you could literally flip them because they just beat them and they have less losses.
That is true, but the way polls work is it's an aggregate.
Yeah.
So if you do find individuals who rank Gonzaga 15 and St. Mary's 16, then I would understand, like, what are you doing?
Okay, but that's true. It's not like some individual that's just like in a computer screen picking it for you.
Yeah. But I understand the point. It's like, yeah, that does seem a little fishy. Why wouldn't you just switch the two? Because you literally just played, and it was actually St. Mary's played on Gonzaga's home court.
Right. So there's no argument anymore. It's like, no, that one's 15, that one's 16. Either way, West Coast, I have San Diego. Good team. Overall, 13-7. Conference, 4-4. They lost to BYU, you know, which is it's a good loss, but it would have been an even better win. They lost 58-74, and they are playing Santa Clara? How do you even say that? Santa Clara?
I'm going to go with Santa Clara.
Yeah, I'm going to do that too. They're playing them tomorrow, and they're six in the conference.
Six in the conference, just sitting nice and steady.
Yep.
Hofstra, out of the Colonial Athletic Association, had a pretty big week. I mean, that's the way the stats say it, although they went 1-1, so I'm not really understanding that. Maybe teams around them kind of lost, and that just kind of propelled them. They had a win over a pretty bad Delaware team, and then they lost to College of Charleston on the road. They're sitting at 159 in KenPom.
Charleston's doing well, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. In terms of the conference standings, Hofstra's in fourth, or I guess tied for – well, yeah, they're in fourth. Sitting at 5-3. Yeah, and that's anything about stands out. No, they're pretty just bland.
All right, so my UNCW, they are failing me. Overall, they're 6-14, conference 3-5. They did upset Towson last weekend, 73-71.
That was a big win.
Yeah, that was actually. Playing fellow conference bottom feeder Jay Madison tomorrow. They're 8th in the conference, so. Them and Jay Madison are the two worst teams in the conference. So they're kind of like my Cornell, but for the Colonial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. UNC Wilmington really fell off once Kevin Keats left to NC State. Their defense cannot stop anybody. In fact, they're giving up almost 45% on three-pointers, which you're not going to win many games doing that.
Well, let's just hope they still have baseball.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They always have that. And they have the beach.
Oh, they do. Interesting.
Next up is the Big East Conference, where my Providence Friars are 14-7, and they are 5-3 in the conference. They're having a nice year. Probably not as nice as they expected. Definitely not as nice as they expected. I think the UMass loss really hurts them. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, their losses are pretty excusable. I know they just lost to Villanova last night, and it wasn't very close, honestly.
At least you know they're not the best team. Yeah, that's.
I don't think they're eyeing for a conference or a tournament bid. But they still have some opportunities. They still play Villanova again. They still have Seton Hall and Marquette on their schedule.
You don't think they'll get a tournament bid?
No, there are chances, but the way it looks right now, I wouldn't imagine they're going to.
Interesting.
I think
because they're third in the conference, right? Right in the
what?
They're third in the conference, right?
Yeah, well, they are – no, they're fourth.
No, they're not.
Behind Creighton, Xavier, and Villanova, yeah.
No, Creighton's fourth.
Creighton is at 6-3. Providence is at 5-3.
Oh, okay. I haven't updated this since they beat St. John's. That's why.
I got you.
Yep. Yesterday, before they played St. John's, Creighton was fourth and Providence was third. Yeah, my team, Creighton – 15-5, conference 5, or 16-5, conference 6-3, right? Now with the win over St. John's?
They are 6-3, yeah. 16-5, 6-3.
Okay. And last week when we were recording this, it was a great start to my conference allegiance because the Jays stomped Seton Hall 80-63. Last weekend, unfortunately, ironically, they fell to your team, Providence, 71-85. But yeah, yesterday they beat St. John's 68-63, so they went back to third in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Creighton can really shoot. I don't think that's a new trend. I think that's kind of always the way they've been. But that loss to Providence was interesting because they outshot. Oh, never mind. I was reading the box score incorrectly. Yeah, when they don't shoot too well, they lose, which is pretty usual.
Wait, so you're telling me when they don't get the ball into the basket, they tend to lose?
Some teams, that's kind of like a habit for them.
Interesting. I usually prefer my teams to get the ball into the basket, but, you know, to each his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are sixth in the country in effective field goal percentage. At almost 60%, so that's...
Damn.
That's a good look for them.
Yeah. So maybe they'll make the tournament.
Yeah, and then last but not least, out of the Western Athletic Conference, a team that has climbed since our last podcast up, how many, 13 spots in 1 week, is the Grand Canyon Antelopes.
Yeah. They've been going off.
I don't understand how. This is one of those things that just doesn't make much sense because their wins were against, let's see, UMKC. I don't know who that is.
Yeah. No, that's University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Missouri, Kansas City. The Kangaroos, yeah. Yep. And then their other loss was against William Jessup. Is that a school?
Yep.
Or is that a person?
That is both.
Yeah, well, that was their two wins, and somehow they jumped up 13 spots. They are very good at defense, only giving up 26% on threes. I don't know if that's their strategy or if that's just bad luck for the opponents.
What are they ranked now in the conference?
In the conference, they are second.
Second. Uh-oh.
Yeah, Mexico State's a pretty clear favorite, but Grand Canyon, you know.
Maybe I'm excited.
To get that win against New Mexico State.
Maybe that's the game we need to go to because my New Mexico State Aggies, 17-3 overall, conference 5-0, completely shut down Utah Valley 86-59, and they're actually facing off against Missouri Kansas City, the Kangaroos this weekend, first in conference, looking to hold that title and maybe like even get past the first round in the tournament. Nah, probably not. But still, make the tournament.
No, they're having a really strong season for sure.
So that's like really exciting for New Mexico State, especially since they made their first bowl appearance in however long, won, and now they're probably going to make the tournament. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like it's just kind of a senior-led team. They've got two seniors that are kind of leading the charge in Zach Lofton and Jamario Jones. And then, you know, some juniors that are also doing big things. So that's good to see. They're kind of just like a better version of Grand Canyon, looking at it from a stats perspective. So that doesn't fare too well for their matchup on February 10th.
Just that notorious whack basketball everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm. It's got some deep history.
So you want to talk about women's basketball for us?
Yeah, I guess so. I've been preparing pretty much all week.
As I imagined.
I've got a couple pages of notes.
Uh-oh.
Let's try to
cut this down into about a minute to 2 minutes. How about that?
Yeah, I'll just kind of go through who like the top teams are.
Okay.
So I don't – this is kind of like a shock, but UConn is undefeated.
No way.
It's been a while since they've been good.
What?
UConn is actually unanimous number one, received all 32 points or all 32 votes, which is kind of just a shocker because I know they've got like a young coaching staff and a pretty young team.
Yeah, they couldn't even make it to the championship last year.
Yeah, especially in their conference.
Who the hell are these ladies?
And then number two is Mississippi State, which is like another huge shock.
What? Man, yeah, I need to get more into women's basketball. At least it mixes things up on like men's basketball and football, right?
Yeah, so I'll just like run through the top five. I've been really paying attention. It's UConn, Mississippi State, Baylor, Louisville, and Notre Dame.
So it's literally every single women's basketball team that's always in the top five?
No, it's just like one of those years where it's just really crazy and it's being just shuffling around.
Oh, right. That's what I meant.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Maryland's up there. Just like some teams that are really building.
Something
I have noticed, there's also mid-major poll.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a separate poll. It's kind of like a power ranking.
Okay.
The number one team is Florida Gulf Coast. So they're one of those mid-majors that are having a big year. South Dakota State is up there, Green Bay.
Nice.
But outside of Green Bay, who is at 22 in the polls, none of these teams are ranked. So that's an interesting concept because in men's basketball that's not the case at all. If you rank the mid-major teams, you'd see what, 3, 4, 5 teams in the polls pretty much at any time,
right?
I guess that's just not the case in women's basketball. I don't know why that is. It doesn't really make sense to me.
I think I'm gonna make this claim: women's basketball is way too elitist and exclusive, and we need to break that up a little bit, make it a little bit more inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Let in guys, or what are you saying here?
I haven't really proposed anything yet, but I think letting in guys isn't a terrible idea. instead of women's basketball, instead of women's basketball, make it co-ed basketball.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not against it.
I'm not against it either. So, something to think about.
The ACC is leading the way. Let's see if I got anything else. Yeah, in the latest women's bracketology, ACC has 8 teams in. Big Ten 7, Pac-12 7, SEC 7. So, yeah, it's just all these Power 5 schools.
What about the American?
The American is projected to have 2.
Houston?
At a first glance, I'm not sure what those 2 are.
I want to say Houston's actually doing well.
Go through. UConn is 1, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
And the other is... Give me a second. You continue, and I'll interrupt you.
It's got to be Houston, right? I get Twitter updates that Houston basketball women's apparently wins occasionally. So since it's a women's sport, I just assume they're like one of the best.
Why is it taking me so long to find this?
I'm a little disappointed.
South Florida.
Boo! Well, at least South Florida can like... Wait, no, they're not even going to win that. Never mind. Okay. You ready for some men's ice hockey?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So, in case you were unaware, the NCAA D3 Men's Ice Hockey Championship just finished up on Saturday.
The Frozen Four.
And, no. The Frozen Four is the D1. This is D3. There's no cool name for it. It's just the playoffs for D3. I gotta say, though, it got a little heated on the ice. You like that?
Oh, nice little pun.
Yeah.
Good one.
Unlike college football, this was a two-sided Cinderella story. Through 3 rounds of hard-fought matches, or games, or whatever hockey calls it. What does hockey call it? Matches, right? Games?
Yeah, matches. Matches is not... Well, I think either would work.
Hockey game. We played hockey game.
A hockey match.
It ended up through all, I guess, 4 rounds in total. The final ended up being number 12 Norwich against number 6 Trinity. So that's pretty cool. They even beat the teams that had the byes. So both of them started from round 1 and made it all the way to the finals. Pretty exciting. Yeah.
Where's this game being played?
It already was played.
Oh, well, why are you speaking like it's in the future?
I'm not. I was. This is past tense. I said it. It happened on Saturday. Oh. It was located actually deep in the heart of the Jim and Karen Love Triangle in the Utica Memorial Auditorium. So the only thing I know about Utica is just that that's where Jim met Karen.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I know. It's famous for that.
I think that's the only thing it's known for.
Wait, no, Jim met Pam in Scranton.
No, I said Karen. Karen Filippelli. Karen Filippelli.
Oh, yeah. No, that was in Syracuse, right?
So, no, what about the Utica branch?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what we're talking about.
I thought that was just one of those ones that kind of got mentioned but was never really
featured. You're probably right. Oh, my God. If I'm wrong on one of my office references, that's bad.
The Stanford branch.
Oh, did she take over the Utica branch when she left? Either way, this isn't a fucking office podcast. Stop talking about it, Jay. So anyway, Norwich won. They beat Trinity 4-1. So
where's that school?
I have no idea.
you did some research.
I did a little bit of research. I didn't do like a whole lot of research.
When's the Frozen Four?
That's a good question. I said that in the last one, so maybe you should have listened.
Did you? I don't think you said a date. I think you just kind of mentioned
it. No, I did, yeah, because it was in St. Paul, all right?
Well, I hear you typing now. I was going to say, if you said it last episode.
Keep selling. I'm not typing, dude.
Dead air!
It was founded in 1948. 16 teams get in. And yeah, it's April 5th and 7th, like I said the whole time.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so 16 teams in, 1 team leaves, Frozen Four.
Which just mathematically, it doesn't really make sense. Why is it the Frozen Four if 16 yeah. teams are in?
It's because they're trying. They were trying to compete with the, you know, basketball.
The Final Four, but that's, I want to say, different weekend.
Yeah, I know, but they were just trying to, like, give it a cool name so you can market it better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read the Wikipedia page.
Let me pull up Bracket Matrix and see if there's anything going on there.
Ooh. Number one is still Notre Dame, Cornell, Clarkson, Denver, St. Cloud State, Ohio State, Minnesota State, Northeastern. Okay, also, in my readings, obviously a majority of the schools are up north. And the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The only Southern D1 men's ice hockey team is the only school in the South.
Alabama.
You're close. It's a school in Alabama.
Georgia. Auburn.
Did you say Georgia?
Well, because I didn't hear you say school in Alabama.
University of Alabama at Huntsville.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, of course, everybody knew that. Yeah. So, they're not D1 in anything but men's ice hockey, so.
Yeah, hockey's weird at the collegiate level. I know Ole Miss has a club team that's kind of pretty, like, well-followed within the Ole Miss circles, kind of like a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
And every year they play Mississippi State, and I never watch them, but I'll kind of keep up on Twitter, and the outcomes are always just insane. Like, Ole Miss will win 25-2 or something.
What? That's not hockey.
Yeah.
I don't think you're...
Swear to God. Look these scores up. It's insane.
That doesn't make any sense. That's why they're not D1, because they're playing those kind of games.
They play in this little rink in Tupelo, and they usually fill it up for those games, but, yeah, no, I see these scores on Twitter, and I'm like, is this a different sport than I'm used to? Because, I mean, I'm used to, like, 3-2 games, and
yeah, well, like no, you go to Hurricane games, so you're used to, like, nothing to whatever, however much the other team scored.
Hey, Hurricanes are right on the in and out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They were in the playoffs a couple days ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Texas has like a hockey league, a collegiate hockey league. It's like Texas State, UT, TCU, Texas Tech, A&M, like a bunch of random schools. So, yeah. That's
hockey's a pretty cool sport.
Yeah, I would actually like, that would be cool. I wish there was more schools like in Texas or something that I could...
I feel like college hockey would be really cool if it was actually big.
Well, it's the third highest revenue college sport.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, I know, over baseball. That's what I was saying in the last podcast.
That's got to be on average, and they only consider the schools that have D1 hockey, which
probably,
is the
yeah.
schools that bring in a ton of revenue, like yep. North Dakota and Notre Dame and stuff.
Well, they're playing it smart then, aren't they? You can't really blame them for that.
Yeah.
That's smart. But like I said in the last podcast, college baseball is the most underrated sport in the world.
How so?
Nobody cares. I mean, I think people care, but it's never televised. It's not even it revenues less than men's hockey.
Yeah, no. I mean, college baseball is one of my favorite things to follow. I'm a little biased because I went to Ole Miss and I was graced with going to all those games for 4 years, but. It's definitely a super fun sport to follow.
Well, I went to University of Houston, and rather than just get drunk and act like idiots, we actually watch our team because they're really good.
Yeah, that just kind of sounds boring.
Maybe that's why nobody likes baseball, because it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, yeah, so I'm going to be officially the the NCAA D1 men's ice hockey guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not D3 hockey. I'll reference that sometimes. Not women's hockey, if there is a thing. On the NCAA website, it says NCAA D1 men's ice hockey. That's what I'm going to be.
No, there's women's hockey.
Okay. I thought that was field hockey, but yeah.
Maybe I'll be I'll be women's basketball. I'll keep this up.
I think that's actually important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Every week I'll go through the top five.
Just the top five? That's what I'll do with hockey. I'll just talk about the same schools over and over. Hey, Notre Dame won again. Hey, Minnesota still has hockey. Oddly enough, though, South Dakota, not a single D1 hockey team.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Before we wrap up, we have the Big 12 SEC Challenge in basketball this weekend.
Oh yeah,
there's actually some pretty cool matchups because usually the SEC is pretty dog shit in basketball, but mm-hmm. this year they're actually really good. And the Big 12 is obviously really good.
They got Tennessee in there?
Yeah, Tennessee, who are they playing? Tennessee's playing Iowa State. That'll be a pretty easy win for them, unfortunately. Yeah. I wish they were matched up against someone better.
Yeah, West Virginia. That would have been fun.
So Oklahoma's playing Alabama. That'll be fun because yep. it's obviously Trae Young versus Colin Sexton, both top five picks probably, or top 10 picks. Who else do we have? Texas Tech, South Carolina. Nah, not too competitive.
Texas Tech's going to whoop that ass.
Texas is playing Ole Miss. So for all those Ole Miss basketball fans. Texas A&M, Kansas. That could be good. Kentucky's playing West Virginia.
Ooh, they got A&M in this? Yeah, that's hot. That's nice.
Yeah, Kentucky, West Virginia could be good.
If I was a Big 12, would you say they're playing Kansas?
Yep.
All they got to do is start the traitor chant.
Yeah, it is in Lawrence, so that would make sense.
I would just start chanting traitor, traitors, traitors, because yeah, they used to be on the other side of the ball. So
yeah, no, that's a pretty good diss. They would probably get pretty upset at that.
Thank you. I think of these like just off the top of my head. I'm usually pretty good at it. So.
What else? Obviously, the big game is Duke, Virginia, like we discussed. And I'm actually going to be in Durham on Saturday, so I'm gonna. I'm not going to get a ticket to the game. Obviously, that's like $1,000.
Wait, why are you in Durham?
I'm going to a Joe Rogan show.
You know my thoughts about Joe Rogan.
but they play Saturday at 2:00, so I'm gonna try and find a bar down in Durham somewhere and catch the game.
Probably see if you can get Joe Rogan to give us a shout out.
Yeah, no, it should be pretty easy. I mean, it'll be like a small venue, pretty intimate.
Hey, I got Michael Rappaport to take a photo with our shirt, so.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Very similar. Tell Joe Rogan all the issues I have with him being a bully, and if he wants to defend himself, he can come on to the podcast, or I'll fight him.
Mm-hmm.
Let him know.
I mean, I think he can beat him up. He's not super big.
I would fight him. Tell him I'm calling him out right now. I'm calling him out officially on air. If anybody's listening, let him know. Send him this. I'll kick his ass.
Have you seen the video where he's kneeing this bag? It's like it's incredible how strong his knees are.
I don't care. I'll whoop that old man's ass.
He is what is he like? He's like 45, I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna beat his ass. Watch, one day, I'm actually gonna confront Joe Rogan, and he's gonna be like, "Hey, you said you can kick my ass."
I don't think he would even care.
It's gonna be like the Peter Griffin thing where he fights Liam Neeson.
Saturday, obviously, huge day games, and then outside of the SEC Big 12 Challenge, you got a whole bunch of ACC games, Virginia Duke, and then Miami's playing Florida State, Virginia Tech's playing Notre Dame. So it's just pretty much a day full of college basketball. If you got a chance, just sit down in front of the TV, put it on ESPN, CBS, whatever.
What do you mean if you get a chance? If you're not sitting down in front of a TV all weekend, then you're doing something wrong.
I wonder if any of our teams are playing each other. Actually, wait, you're South Dakota State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fort Wayne's playing South Dakota State on Saturday.
Uh-oh. Your team's going to get their ass whooped.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that.
All right, so for all of our listeners, your assignment until next episode, watch more college sports.
Yeah, seems pretty easy.
Yeah, and if you can, watch hockey, NCAA D1 men's ice hockey, and if you could just tweet at Joe Rogan, or if anybody personally knows him, just tell him that I'm calling him out, and I'll beat his ass. I'll get into a stupid octagon with him.
He did actually say on his podcast that he reads every reply.
Are you serious?
I think. Maybe I'm just making that up.
Yeah, let's start this movement then. Let's get it going. Who wants to see a 26-year-old out-of-shape guy get into an octagon with Joe Rogan and beat his ass?
A guy that's been training in martial arts since he was 20.
I've gotten into a good amount of street fights.
Mm-hmm.
I've also got my ass kicked in quite a bit of those, but I ain't scared.
So. All right, let's get this thing set up.
There you go. That's how we're going to wrap up the episode. I'm going to beat the shit out of Joe Rogan. Let's do it. All right. Peace.
Peace.
What the shit is this?
Cheech over here bought himself a bong.
This is wacky.
Who wants to smoke a J?
The weed that he gave us is awesome.
Pass, bitches.
Okay, what do I want more than anything else in this entire world?
Yes.
Crack.
Oh,
you want crack?
Yeah, crack cocaine.
Now, I've never had crack.
Dude, you are going to love it.
Well, you know, get back on crack.
If you have crack, let's boogie.
I just want crack.
I need to be high on crack cocaine lately.
Here's a pile of drugs. Give us some money.
Uh-huh. Oh, we got drugs? All right, crank me up, baby. We're going up, down. How we doing?
A little dip into our Bolivian marching powder.
Because you got nose crams that you crush up into a line of white powder and you snort them up through your nose and they make you high.
Cocaine, cocaine.
It's like my mouth is no longer a part of my head and I kind of feel nothing, but it feels so good.
Rub it all over your gums, D. All over your gums.
Cocaine, cocaine.
Keep reapplying every 10 to 15 minutes.
Cocaine, 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 cocaine. Feel pretty good. I feel weird, but pretty good. Hey, do you guys mind if I go in the bathroom and smoke some PCP?